People are always talking, but what happens when the talk isn't cheap? And it is what it is.
Artlist.io.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Thoughts and Tarots podcast, where we're unpacking the price of ideas.
One conversation at a time.
So, we're finally launching our podcast.
It took a while, but yeah, today is finally here.
It is definitely a long time coming, and we decided to launch on our newest holiday for America.
There's definitely a pivotal moment in history where we showed our foreign adversaries that, you know, we could topple the government pretty quickly.
Yeah, so I guess...
Without further ado.
Yep. We are happy Insurrection Day, guys. And we are definitely celebrating this, and we are really walking through why this is really an important holiday now. So happy January 6th. I hope you guys celebrate. I hope eventually we all get the day off. Granted, though, we still haven't gotten 9/11 off, and that was a terrorist attack, too. So,
I mean, you get a moment of silence. Maybe we should just do a moment of silence for insurrection.
Yeah, that's good.
This was a terrorism. I mean, it was a domestic terrorism.
Yeah.
On our...
What's the definition of... Is that a whole minute?
What?
A moment of silence is a whole minute?
Yeah, usually.
All right, start the timer.
Okay.
We're giving a moment of silence for Nancy Pelosi. The rest of them.
1 minute later.
Alrighty, y'all. Our minute is up, so yeah.
All right. So can't believe it's 2025 already, and we are T minus how many days until the new administration comes in?
Ooh. I would say just under
17?
Maybe 14. Yeah, is this January 6th? Yeah, so 14 days.
14 days. Yeah. Ooh. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'm a very moderate person, so I'll just throw that out there. So I'm very interested to see what Trump is going to do, especially as I was looking at the stats. This was the second largest outcome of voters compared to the 2020 election.
Yeah, this is definitely a one for the books. I mean, we had our, you know, second third female, but first, a second Black female, but also this second female. Shirley Chisholm is actually the first Black woman to run for president.
Really?
60. Yeah, you know what I mean?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, you know, the mobs took her down. You know, of course, me and the people you gotta watch the movie. Like, we'll watch it after this, but anyway. Yeah, and then you had Hillary Clinton. I mean, Hillary Clinton, honestly, was kind of like the first woman ever to make it as far as where she was on the ballot and
right.
A full campaign. It's definitely a bit weird because they gave her less than 90 days. I think she put up a good... Well, the Democrats, they definitely got to re-strategize for 2028, however, because pulling that was, I felt like it was some bullshit. They knew that, you know, President Biden wasn't ready to go, or he wasn't, and it might have been a pride thing, but it was just like,
glamorous. I don't care what no one says.
You know, I don't know what dog got. I just know he ain't got it all. You know, thank you for your 60 years of service in the United States, but a government, but the Democrats did that to themselves. And I'm sorry, I don't know why we got people that's born in like 1798 still, you know, in these positions. And that's just
my grandparents.
Like, literally, Nancy Pelosi, like, step down, let some new blood, like,
yeah, that's true.
And it will be interesting, you know, to see our first millennial, the first millennial in, you know, the executive branch of government, serving as vice president for, you know, President-elect Trump. So we shall see. This is going to be interesting, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know what your friend, Miss Kellyanne.
I just think the Democrats wake up every morning, Emily, and they look at the calendar. The iPhone says January 6, 2021. The date never changes. And then they get an electric vehicle and go get an abortion. I just described the Democratic Party to you in 7 seconds. That's it. That's what I see.
we need to tap into Die Hard Registered Democrats. I want to know if they're waking up, if their calendar's still showing January 6, 2021.
I am not a Die Hard Democrat. So yeah, I'm not going to say that, but, and I definitely don't have an electric vehicle, and I definitely never had an abortion, so.
Yeah. Electric vehicles. First of all, Tesla's not even a registered car company, so I'm just going to start there.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, and then secondly, like.
That's crazy. We all driving data on the road, like.
You remember that movie? You remember the movie with the Obamas produced?
Yeah.
When all the Teslas crashed?
Yeah.
That's why I won't get.
So they basically putting their beef on film. They messy as hell, but I feel them. But, like.
But if Rivia wants to send me a truck to test drive, I'm all for it.
Like a partnership. Sponsorship, yeah, for sure. We could probably pick it up at Legacy List. Or no, that's Lucid.
I'm not a big fan of Lucid.
They're sexy, though. They look like big body, like, they remind me of my old actor.
I can see that.
They wide now.
They are.
Sedans,
but that's the issue. How you gonna parallel park it?
Like, SpongeBob parallel park this shit.
I take it.
You right. I don't know. I'm screaming.
That is funny. I think that's outside the major recap for the 2024 election, I think the biggest thing that we're waiting on and what we're curious to see is first 100 days and day one.
If they can stop fighting, because, President-elect Elon is already calling the shot. Vivek, it's so funny how, the couple of conversations they have had publicly about Americans, considering they're, like, immigrants themselves, and they're calling Americans dumb, and it's really pissing off MAGA and everybody else, and it's just like...
Are Americans... The question is, mm-hmm. Are Americans really dumb, or do Americans not really care? Because I feel like...
I think it's a combination, but I don't think our education is flawed, but honestly, I have been in classes with a lot of, international students, and they cheat like a motherfucker. Like, I ain't cheap like I've never seen in my life. And I'm like, you're pre-med?
Man.
You're engineer? The stuff I used to see at my school, I'll be like, I will probably go, my black ass will be in jail. Like, Oakland County, jail.
Africans from London, that's all I gotta say. The Africans from London stay with, this test. I don't care how you got it, but let me, if you ain't letting me use it, then we ain't friends. We ain't friends, though.
It was just resourceful. I think overseas is a lot more competitive than here in America. Because it's like here in America, that's the problem I sometimes have with people, like, what's wrong with kids nowadays? And I try not to talk about kids because I don't have kids. But what I observe, because I used to be a cheerleading coach and a volunteer, they're not coachable, but they also, everybody gets a participation trophy. I'm fine with a participation trophy when you're 5, but... The participation trophies when you're 10, 15, 20. No. Everybody's not going to be Kobe. You can't be Kobe unless you lose sometimes.
Yeah, you have to.
You're trying to be Beyonce, and it's just like, the Beyonce you know today is not the Beyonce we knew a Destiny Child, a girl's time. Like, it takes time, and people don't want to put in the work. They just want to see the
way. Nobody's in the gym shooting.
Yeah, people just want to take their fucking iPad and shake it and think it's, plug it up for 2 minutes, with a 2% charge, and they think, well, I'm supposed to be there. And that's not how life works. Hell, we in our mid-30s still trying to work toward a lifelong goal. So it's just like...
Listen, and that's the truth. It's the podcast. These are our thoughts, and we're gonna see how these tariffs is gonna shape the rest of the economy and the world. Like, at the end of the day, like, I'm very interested to see how I'm very interested to see how people are going to react, because remember there's a ton of people, so after the election they were like, oh well, the air is smelling a lot cheaper out here. And I feel like people really don't understand our government and how it works. Like, the United States is a big business, and that's the one thing I remember learning, and as many econ classes as I've taken, like, we are just a big, giant business.
We are a business. Look at, our origins right after we were, the inception of the United States. you know, the first big issue we had was slavery. And you know what happened? They had to shut the South down. That was a business.
Yeah, because they was making too much money. I don't care what no one said. I'm going to stay on this hill. I'm going to die on this hill. President Lincoln, he didn't care about slaves.
He wanted to be financially. I keep telling people that. Like, that's the keep rewinding history for, you know, Black History. Like, I'm like, baby, it was to cripple the South. Him and the South
because
had
the South was sharing. Like, they wasn't playing nice. When you start playing nice,
they were literally the Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, they were.
Elon
Musk was definitely Jeff Bezos.
I mean, the cotton mill, especially, you know, you didn't have to rely on so much human capital. You can redistribute that human capital because you had the cotton gin. Listen,
yeah.
The United States is a business, baby.
Yeah.
The game is to be sold, not told.
That is so true. Those are facts. Yeah. No, we could talk about this all day. That's for sure. I know we wanted to make sure that we educate you guys a little bit as well. Because we're going to learn. And y'all gonna learn with us. But what we do know, we know what a tariff is. Go ahead, Sydney, tell them what the definition of a tariff is.
So a tariff is basically a tax on imports or exports. And just imagine like your favorite sneakers. So for example, I'm from Detroit, you know, I'm from the hood. Everybody loves Jordans, right? So Jordans are made for what, like $3 or $4 over in China, Vietnam, if that. And then they ship them overseas here, and then you get them at Foot Locker for what, maybe $250, $300? That's at the store. We ain't talking about.
You remember when I was trying to find the Cool J's?
Yes. Y'all, listen, so we live in Dallas, right? I was like, I had called Brittany. I'm like, yo, she was feeling depressed or whatever. I was like, yo, let's get up. Let's go to Stonebriar. Let's walk around. Did not know, because I'm not a sneakerhead, that the Cool J's came out. We go to every store, y'all. They all sold out of her size. We run into this dude next to J.C. Penney. She was like, hey, I see you got some shoes there. What size you got? At her size, she all literally bartered. How much did he tax you?
Oh, so I still wore kids' shoes, so I was able to get a 7. So usually they hit for like $170, $190. I think I paid $210.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
But I know he on his site, he was definitely going to jack them up to $300-$400.
Yeah.
And he had, like, what, 4 bags?
So,
and then his homeboy had.
But there was a limit, apparently, that you can only. So, in the kid's size, you get X amount of shoes. And then in the adult size, you get X amount of shoes. So, he basically maxed out on his limit. Man, because in Detroit, you get a ticket.
Yeah.
That's all you get.
Also, just one pair. Okay.
Like, and then.
One that pair, ticket, one body.
Yeah, that ticket is random. Like, so you get, it's a lottery. So you got to go to the store like a week or so to go. I don't know how it is now, but back then, like a couple years ago.
I remember hearing about it from my friends. And
back in the day.
Yeah, I didn't grow up with brothers, and like my dad was older, so he didn't wear Jordans, but I just heard it, you know, through, you know, friends that were Jordan collectors. But yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's wild. Like that, I will definitely say.
I'm screaming. But basically, you know, import tariffs are taxes on goods brought into a country. Just like I said, you know, pretty much everything, your cell phone, your shoes, your clothing. Export tariffs are rare, but they are in some industries. So sometimes they will, the government will tax when it is shipped out of the U.S. So say we make a product, it'll be taxed and shipped to its final destination. And then protective tariffs versus revenue tariffs. It's like saving local industries versus government piggy bank. So y'all know the government, like we said before, it's a business. So they're always going to find a way to make easy bag. And to me, this is just an easy, lazy bag. Just slap a, you know, percentage and they make that money before it come off the dock. So, and I learned a lot about, you know, this stuff when I started working for a Chinese-owned company right after the first year of the pandemic. I mean, we had stuff held up in Long Beach for months. Like, we started shipping stuff to, what does that call it, Washington State to Seattle and having it trucked down to us because we literally couldn't wait. And then I know a couple of other some of our other competitors ended up building plants in Mexico, like on the border of Texas. So, you know, where they could still get cheap labor, but, you know, it's still on the same continent. So all you needed is a truck or a train and not being on water. So, because y'all know, like the shipping companies, like the world shipping companies are owned by, like, I feel like 3 or 4 families. So they are able to change the price. They're able to control. So, I mean, when I tell you them niggas got off, they got the fuck off. They got the fuck off.
I don't really imagine for sure.
Like, they got the fuck off. But Jeff Bezos got the fuck off. And don't own no, like, literally, don't own any. I mean, he does own brick and mortar, but, I mean, it's not like you're not going into the store. Like, it's very limited overhead. Like, he literally just housing the product. Right. Like, his model was fucking genius.
Yeah,
and that whole, you know, was creeping up. I think we talked about it. Like, Temu was the next competitor.
Well, Temu and Shein, because that's
Shein,
what
yeah.
they use. There was an article I was reading about Temu and Shein. Those are the Chinese versions. I mean, Asian versions of Walmart and Amazon. And I was like, that was a good comparison because definitely you get low prices.
You buy a little shit you don't need.
Exactly.
If I buy, like, I look at my, I'm like, what the?
Exactly. And it's fast. And it's, like, easy, breakable, like, stuff that I don't care about replacing.
Easy,
like,
gratification. Yeah.
And it's, like, and that's where a lot of, like, I feel like the one thing I knew when, what's this called? Forever 21 was allowing Shein return. I was like, yo.
Isn't Forever 21 technically, like,
I feel like it is. I feel like it is.
I mean, I'm not mad because I'm like, get your bread. It's me, the gang. I don't know. She's going to check and see who was owned by, but I feel like it probably has some ties to, like, Vietnam or something to be able to turn over. You know, it's fast fashion. It is what it is.
Yep.
But worth it.
It says, Du Wong and Jin Soup Chan founded Forever 21 in 1984.
Wow. That's a 40-year-old company.
Wow.
But yeah, you guys, like, it's going to be very interesting to see how these tariffs really affect the everyday American as a consumer. It's definitely going to affect us. Like, I think we talked about housing prices are going to go up because I was in the building material industry. So I used to sell cabinets, flooring, you know, all types of stuff to basically build a house or, you know, any low or high rise, you know, structure. And we saw, you know, tariffs rise during the pandemic or just the cost of manufacturing, and then wait times were getting longer. It showed how, you know, how we are not truly in control here in the States with, you know, our manufacturing. We really rely on a lot of outsourcing. So now if our president beefs with half the countries that we're getting stuff from, you know, we're going to have to grow all our shit here. I'm sorry. People are not going to do that. Like,
It's either we grow all our stuff here or you get rid of all the immigrants. Because who's going to do it?
Yeah, and they're not going to pay. That's the thing. Like, people don't realize how hard that work is. Like, picking all those. My mom had a garden in our backyard, and I barely want to pick those 2 tomatoes. I'm not going to. They, like, listen, my ancestors paid it all. Like, I know, but I'm just saying, like, there is no way. I don't think people realize they voted off of, like you said, propaganda. And it's like, it's the final level of fuck around to find out.
Yeah.
But it's not even scary for the people that's going to possibly get deported. It's going to be the people that's stuck behind.
Yeah. That's left behind her.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting that our grocery and even Trump came on the media saying, hey, after the election, he's like, hey, I can't really guarantee your groceries going to go down. Because we've never seen that happen ever where prices go up and they come down. They just can steadily go up.
They just never have shot up this fast. Like, because at least I will say growing up, we could see the gradual increase of things going up. But between COVID and now, it's been like double. I feel like it's
and overnight.
Yeah, and it's like, one thing I'm really mad about, like, super, super pissed about, because I love music festivals or whatnot, and Austin City Limit is one of the main best music festivals that I go to every year here in Texas. And we do VIP. And so you normally, let's talk about how they went from you getting VIP, having unlimited booze, unlimited food. You get really good. They have a platinum, so you get the next best like viewing section. Last year, they only had unlimited alcohol, so you have to pay for food. Like, the area itself is nice where you sit and relax. And now this year, and I didn't even realize that my friend Katrina, who I go with, she was like, did you see this? And it, guess what? Now we got to pay for liquor. So why am I paying for VIP? I was so mad because we just automatically renew every year.
Yeah, I think it's just being greedy because honestly.
And then I'm paying more.
Yeah, I just feel like too, not even inflation. I just think these places are getting more and more greedier because they know people are going to pay it. They
and
know.
That's why, right, ACL. Like, I want to reduce. Y'all put me back in General Plus. Like, the only thing I like is as long as I don't got to use a porta potty at this rate. Like,
yeah, I mean, I feel like they know you're still going to keep paying that extra $75 or extra $150. And because they want to be a part of it and stuff like that. I mean, I understand some costs go up, but I feel you. Like, it's just like, damn, y'all keep stripping away everything. What we going to have to buy the artist next? Like, exactly. To each performance, that's going to be next.
Because at this rate, I should get they should be coming in different little cabanas. And they should be doing intimate shows at this rate. Because now I don't know. I was so mad because, like I said, I just automatically renew. So I'm actually really mad that I don't even know what I'm paying for. Because it actually, I think last year, I think it was $1,600. So this year is $1,800.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, to not get the least somewhat decent amenity, like, y'all ain't giving me nothing free.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. For two bands?
Yeah. Like, at least last year, I was highly inebriated. I mean, the food was great. Granted, I had to pay for it, but the year before that, like I said, you got free food and drink, and that was the first year that they were allowing you to take your drinks in and out the
venue.
Like, because before you had to stay in VIP with your drink, but now they let you come out of there with it. So it was just like,
yeah, they probably tested the waters to see how far they can go, because these people are greedy. They gonna try to make. They realize our society is they have a very bad case of FOMO, and they're willing to pay.
No, I you could miss me. I may have to like forfeit my ticket because, be completely honest, mind you, I get it without even knowing what the lineup is. And if this line, then
that's crazy.
That's some real, like, I wish I had faith in a lot of stuff that I have faith in these ACL tickets and having to make sure that I go every year, because that right there is some BS.
That's insane. Yeah, no. Yeah, that's definitely crazy. I mean, no judgment. I mean, that's what you like. You like music and you like, the ideas of festivals. But yeah, no, these promoters, everybody is just trying to extract more and more and more and more. But I don't know when it will be, when it's enough is enough,
Right. Right. Yeah, I want to know but
to get back on target, guys, like, I know you're like, why are y'all talking about tarot? Like I said, this podcast is definitely, it's a bit like, world news, current topics, pop culture, a little bit of politics here and there. So it's all,
all encompassing a little bit.
Yeah.
Definitely feel like, at this moment, we definitely need to be more aware of what's going on in the world and how it is affecting us and how it's affecting my money, to be honest.
Yeah, now, we're in our mid-30s, so it's just like, everything that's going on now will affect us in our,
right,
if we live to that point, 50s,
right,
60s, 70s, our retirement, if we are granted a retirement, because
we're not getting Social Security.
Yeah, Social Security is supposed to run out, and I think my parents may be the last.
Yeah, because what we're paying in Social Security is paying for your parents and my grandparents, to be completely honest. Because the generation behind us, half of them don't work, half of them are content creators. So even if they did decide to work, because most of them are going into content creating in their 20s, even if they do go into like corporate America and Social Security, that won't be until they're 30. So we are already we have a huge gap of when we're going to get it. And so, yeah, it's going to be
Yeah, y'all, being a millennial is just so fucking scary. Like, I just don't understand. Like, it's just very ghetto. Like, I know every generation has their crazy stuff, but I feel like this is we've had the craziest shit since probably like the silent generation, because in the silent generation, you know, Biden is the end of the silent generation and Trump is the beginning of baby boomers, because like we just saw we like 1944, 1943.
Yeah, so I thought baby boomers started at 42.
No.
No, they started after the war, 46.
Yeah.
Yeah.
46 to probably like 60 or 61, so like a 15-year period. But yeah, I mean, we've seen so much, and maybe because now we're in our 30s, we kind of are shit happens in life. So, but I mean, we've seen the fall of the Berlin Wall, the Soviet Union, Desert Storm,
Cold War. I remember.
Yeah, oh yeah, the Cold War ended right after we were born. 9/11 was probably, but no, let's go back, like the Oklahoma City bombing, the Waco massacre,
the Columbine shooting,
Columbine and 9/11. Yeah. Like, I feel like Columbine was spooky because it was like so,
it was the first one.
Yeah, it was just like, oh wow,
at least we known about, like, really,
yeah, where America really saw it, and then it just became normal to do this.
Especially because I forgot when you had talked about it earlier, like, I forgot they built one.
Yeah, they built those guns. Like, yeah. It's not like kids go now, like, hey, Dad, take me to Walmart. I want to spend my Christmas Kohl's cash.
Yeah.
And then they just go get and then make it clap the next day at school. No. You know, those boys is like on the early internet, which is probably low-key the dark web now, because, you know, the internet back then was somewhat unregulated and, you know, whatever. But they built bombs, too.
Right.
Because I think they found some
at the house.
At the house, yeah. So, I mean, now we'll get into incels and all that stuff later, but I mean, I feel like Columbine and 9/11 for real. 9/11 was...
I feel like three. The Oklahoma City massacre.
But we were still super young because we were 5 or 6.
We were. But just like, but even though we were talking about that, and like, don't judge me, don't cancel me. But that was just like the JonBenet Ramsey.
Y'all, listen, I hate to embarrass my friend, but child, she saw O.J. Simpson had killed JonBenet. I was like, baby, he was already, like, he wasn't in jail.
Y'all have to realize that was all the same year. Like, it was all within the same 2 years. And I was only 5 or 6 when it happened. So seeing the news, it all showed at the same time. So I just was getting glimpses of it. It never asked about it either.
He was murdered on Christmas of 96. He was literally convicted. Well, not, he was acquitted, I think, in 1995. And then he was actually, found guilty in 1997 of the civil trial against that Ryan Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson family filed, which took his, you know, planning, which is crazy to me. But anyway, it's just like, shit just got weird. And what, the Menendez brother? That was a little.
Yeah, tonight was. I
started in 89.
Yeah, that happened right before I was even born.
Yeah.
And I started watching. I was like, oh, I can watch this because this was wild. Like the way they just walked in and just.
Yeah, have you ever seen the murder? I've seen the murder, like the uncut. Yeah. And even though they were shot, you know, not shot, they those pictures from the 80s, like the to for them to be grainy, those are very grisly. Like, I was like, oh my God. I mean, but I mean, you were shotgun to death too. So.
Right. Like at close range.
Yeah. That, just imagine a bison or a buffalo shot.
Yeah. Like you're going point blank. Like you are.
Yeah. I mean, shit was happening. And then, y'all, you know, we went to war in Afghanistan and the housing
threats.
Yeah. Let's bring up anthrax.
Because I remember that. Because I remember, because it happened right after 9/11. And I remember it because we were in middle school.
Yeah.
And I remember this so vividly. It was like maybe a couple months later. That was in seventh grade.
Did that threat happen at our school?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And this is why, because I remember it so vividly.
Yeah.
Because I'm a looker. So if I'm by a window, I'm looking at everything. I remember someone coming to the school and dropping a package off. Like I was sitting and I could see like the
you put them on the backside of NFL. I remember that, yeah.
And somebody put a package there. And so I'm sitting there watching And but I was in the class too, so I saw the package there, and then it was still sitting there. So I was like, hey, like, there's a package right here.
Yeah.
And so they went out there, they called people, and like, they had, because at the end of the day, like, we just had 9/11 happen, and y'all talk about anthrax and people getting dying off the meal.
Yeah, and then they was talking about, you know, targeting schools, and and then, you know, I hate to say it, you know, we live close to, we live close to Dearborn, Michigan. It was a huge anti-Arab, which we are starting to see Arab, or I shouldn't say Arab, but Muslim
culture. Now let's call them Middle Eastern, because Muslim, like, and this is what we all said, like, just because they're from the Middle East doesn't necessarily mean,
yeah, that's true,
right?
So but I think it's more geared, because even Chaldeans who are Christian, they get lumped in Muslim, as long as they're Middle Eastern, it's an anti-Muslim, because they said the guys from 9/11 were Muslim, so it's just like, if you look the part, if you sound the part, you're Muslim.
It just sucks.
Like, and it, you remember they were attacking, you know, religious figures that was not Muslim, they were a sheikh or something. They were a different, they kind of share the same headdresses, but they completely different. Don't quote me on that. I think it's, they were sheikhs and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, because, you know, ignorant people are being, you know, just attacking folks just because of the way they look. So that's one thing I'm like nervous about, you know, just remembering that from teenagers, having a lot of friends, you know, having a lot of friends, Muslim friends, and, you know, just, you know, the state of our country right now, like, you thought the anti-Hispanic Latino or the anti-Black was bad. I mean, it's about to get nasty up in here. So, you know, I just pray for everybody's safety, because, and now with that new attack, you know, that happened on New Year's Eve in New Orleans. Because
apparently
he's an American citizen.
And he's a vet.
Yes, he's a vet. He's everything America wants you to be, but because he was a brown man, and because...
But he was also, because his name sounded...
Yeah, he definitely had like a Middle Eastern name, but the thing is, I don't know if that was his, you know, if he was born that and converted to become a Muslim, you know, we really don't know. I haven't, you know, dug into his past or whatever, or his history. But
we're calling the January 2nd, 2025, New Orleans attack a terrorist attack.
But you remember the guy? So, you know, it was actually a white guy that shot himself in the head in front of Trump Tower inside that Tesla, that Cybertruck. Yeah, and he was an Army vet. Something is going on. I don't know if this stuff is planted. It's either isolated events.
That reminds me of that Black guy in San Francisco.
Christopher Dorner? Yeah. He was trying to, I think he was trying to be a whistleblower for the LAPD. And you know, the LAPD, them niggas is more scary than the Crips and the Bloods. I would never fuck with no LAPD. I would never try to cross their ass, because they know, man, hell no. Y'all thought Denzel was crazy in training day?
Maybe. You ain't got nothing on me. I remember
I put cases on you, bitch.
I remember the first time I saw training day, I was like, this is intense. His name was, ooh, child, Shamandu D. Jabbar of Texas. And it happened at 3:00 in the morning. So I don't know. That's actually kind of scary just to even see, like, because honestly, that's one thing. Like, we only get one. They have pictures of him walking through Bourbon Street. That's wild though. But they didn't say how long he was in the military for.
Yeah, I think they still are investigating. They're trying to see if he, you know, worked alone or...
But that's going to be... It's going to be interesting to see, because especially with how the guys... I don't necessarily call it a war. I mean, it's a dispute between our people. This is one thing I think we also have to realize as well. And I know, and believe me, what's happening over there is definitely tragic, but I think we also have to realize that, unfortunately, Israel is a part of the UN, and that's where, you know, the United States has no, you can't really go against That's like saying, I don't know how that's like saying.
But I mean, but when do enough become enough? Because, I mean, they just kill like countless people. Like, at this point, it's just like, y'all are murdering people just for shits and giggles. And it's just like.
It's like a sport at this point, I feel like.
It's just like, we need to be charged with war crimes at this point.
I agree. And this is what sucks. And that's where it's like, when do we say, and we sit down and say, okay, hey, like.
This is bullshit.
Just like, even like, as a parent, like, though I'm not one, like, there has been plenty of times where, even as a friend, like, there's been plenty of times we could sit here and say, in public, we'll have your back, but in private, even though if you were wrong, we'll say, hey, like, you were wrong because of blah, 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 blah. Like, there are certain things that don't need to be publicized all the time, and there needs to be those conversations that need to be had. Like, okay, first and foremost, y'all fighting over land. It wasn't even y'all to even begin with. Like, who was England to give Jews the land in the first place? And, like, now, instead of living in peace, instead of just living together with people, like, we are now becoming having these acts of violence. And it's really getting sad.
It's like almost the same stuff that happened to them. Like, it's just,
right?
We're just letting it happen. Just because it's not a gas changer, it's just like
history repeats itself regardless.
It's just mass slaughter. It's awful. Like, I don't know what to do, but it's just like, and now, you know, a lot of folks voted that single voter issue because of Gaza. And, you know, I think that's one thing that definitely hurt Kamala with voters, was she couldn't really answer to that. But
it's hard to her husband's Jewish.
Jewish, and then she can't go against her own administration. But what I don't understand with some of these folks that were protesting with her, why didn't y'all go to a Trump rally and do this? Because, you know, now we know we already know he don't give a damn and he don't give a fuck. I mean, he could care less. I mean,
yeah.
So, and I know I was reading something, and like I said, don't quote me this on y'all, like, his son-in-law, you know, Jared Kushner, was literally eyeing, you know, a lot of that land, like the, you know, the
Gaza Strip?
Yeah, I mean, that's prime real estate. Like you said, they be playing undercover like, shit, we can't see, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he comes from a very, very wealthy family.
Yeah.
Even more wealthier than Trump's family, so it's just like, yeah, I don't know. We will see with this next administration, but all I know is they just definitely need to stop the killing, because it's just like, at this point, y'all are being, this shit is evil.
It is.
It's evil. It's pure evil. It's no justification. I could see if these people were attacking y'all, but and people keep bringing Hamas, like.
And you know, it's so funny that you brought that up, because it's just like, because I remember when I was working up in Canada for that year, and like, I ended up, like, the people that was at my hotel, majority of them were Muslim. A couple of them, one of them was from Algeria. He was pretty cool, though. And he's married to a Ukrainian woman.
That's interesting.
That's a very interesting
because my neighbors are Ukrainian. I mean, not Ukrainian, Algerian. They are, like, the coolest people ever.
And he was just talking about, like, we went out one day. Mm-hmm. I was like, where's the hookah spot? Like, you know, like, oh, this ain't, I was like, yeah, this is okay. This ain't it. Because, you know,
I feel like she'll find some good shit in Toronto, because this will melt.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Probably Vancouver, too. Yeah. But not in Edmonton. But they were just talking about, and the way they described it reminded me solely of the Black Panthers, because the way they described it was, you have these people who were taken from their home, who was abused and abused, and all of these things, and they only thing they know is violence. And these people have been the source of the violence. And when you're young, that's all you know, and that's what you're growing up, and that's what you're like, you're attacking. Just like in the Bible, they have the zealots, because like, you have these people that are going against you, and that's indoctrinated now in you. Like, these are the people that are my enemies. And even with the Black Panthers, like, they were radical. But they also were like, hey, this ain't right. Because they even considered the Black Panthers terrorists.
Yeah, like, I mean, because they knew they were trying to better you know, yeah. like, you know, they had to take him because he was uniting Black people again.
Correct. And then on top of that, it wasn't in the fashion of the nonviolence that y'all also love Dr. Martin Luther King. And so,
I mean, they saw they off his ass once he started getting crunk. So it was like, okay, listen to the last couple of his few of his speeches. He had a little pep in his step, but he was tired.
Because he was hanging out with Malcolm X at that time.
He was tired. I mean, because he was like, okay, I'm gonna try to do it y'all way, but this ain't it, Chief.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like when people form groups to go against or to stop the injustice that they're seeing, it's now considered terrorism. But just like Game of Thrones, and this is how I view the world. In Game of Thrones, everybody was somebody's enemy.
Yeah, you always...
Like, nobody was an ally. Like, it was always somebody, in their perspective, they were wrong. Just like in Daenerys Targaryen, is like, they took this, we were on the throne, they overturned us.
Mm-hmm.
They are my enemy, and they saw them as enemies. So it was just like, it doesn't matter. Like, we could put this as a real world scenario. Like, at the end of the day, like, it's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, like you said, you know, people be, you know, a bad guy in their story and a chicken fried steak and somebody else's stuff.
Yeah. No, I agree. So it's gonna be real interesting to see for sure, especially in Michigan, because I'm very curious to see how people are going to navigate that. With like we said before, like there weren't being really very Middle Eastern heavy, and because I can't even think of another state or city.
Probably Houston has a lot of Persians, or you know LA too. They're more probably wealthier, you know, but it's just they got a huge pop. I would say that those are probably the ones I know. It may be some elsewhere, but I just know definitely Dearborn, Michigan, and Hamtramck, and you know, some of the other metro, you know,
yeah.
metro Detroit areas,
yeah.
Have our, you know, Arab or Muslim American, and then even our Chaldean brothers and sisters, they're Christian, but it's still because they come from that same region, people automatically call them X, Y, and Z, call them terrorists, and stuff, just because they have the same, they speak Arabic, you know, they speak that same language.
Yeah.
It's just, same tongue, just a different God that they believe in, or different figure. So,
the same God.
Yeah. So it's just, it's going to be interesting. Like you said, I hope, you know, we all keep ourselves safe, because this evil that they perpetuate, because now it's a more of a class war. Because, I mean, look at the two guys that we got that's going to be on Trump's board or whatever, Vivek and Elon Musk. Like, these guys are immigrants, and they're pushing, you know, they're pushing for more H-1B, you know, visas, so we can get more, you know, we can attract more cheaper labor. That's the thing. They want to make find the cheapest and most efficient and most accurate.
That's so contradictory of, like, how, in my eyes, is how do you want cheap labor but still want American? Right, like
they, but the thing is, they do not care. These two do not care about America. I don't think people realize they jumped on. See what the thing is? They became model, not Elon, but especially Vivek, model minorities, then snaked their way up, probably closed the door on their own people, made their money. Because let's be real, that guy Vivek is a fucking scammer. Like, that pharmaceutical bullshit, that shit is a Ponzi scheme. And to me, he needs to be behind bars next with Elizabeth Holmes. Vivek, I can't pronounce his last name. Starts with an R.
Ramesi?
Yeah. I'm sorry. But
American, the crazy thing is, an American.
And he may be, you know, Vivek, he might have been born here.
And you went to Yale, Harvard.
He may be first generation.
He definitely is, you know, anybody that goes to an Ivy League, they're part of the American dream.
Yeah, but it's just like, they know and understand that Americans are not going to do their bidding. And it's not, and it's, they call this lazy and stupid. But the thing is, these people, they bring on those work visas. They know they can pay them $60,000 and have them doing the jobs of four people.
But that's the thing, like,
because if they cut their visa, they gotta go to hell back to where they came from.
That's my whole thing, like, Americans being lazy. Like, let's talk about that. Like, that's a topic that I feel like we hear a lot. And
yeah, all over the world. I mean, people always got shit to talk about Americans, but
that's the thing, like, what has given the world that, you know, oh, Americans are lazy, like, because we don't go to school seven days a week, or because we have probably one of the highest obesity rates. Like, what is the main driver? Because at the end of the day, in my eyes, mm-hmm. 9 out of 10, you hear people coming to America to go to our institutions, the Ivy Leagues.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you know say, hey, guys, I'm going to Europe to go to such and such school? Like, how many people go to, like, Oxford is the only one I could think of as a, that is probably the school that I, if I was to go overseas, you're, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people are dying to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like, I mean, some people can hate, but they, you know,
they can get
the club, and it's just like, yeah.
And that's the thing, that's my biggest thing, like, laziness is like, I feel like people like
our economy, and like you said, they like the freedoms that come along with being American. Like you said, you can come over here. Even my old manager in my old company, she's from China originally, and she said it's just so much opportunity, because she said over in her country, you know, the government gets involved in everything. Like, you ain't doing nothing without the government saying so. And I mean, here it's the same way, but it's a lot more freedoms. You know, but I think it's more like a mob mentality. Like, if you ain't, you know, if you ain't had your elbow rubbed, you ain't making no moves over there. So, and here in America, you literally can do rags to riches. It's definitely, I feel like, hard work, but I do think it's a lot of luck too. You got to be in the right space. But they're trying to close, because that's why I think they're trying to cancel TikTok too. It's not just because it's not U.S. It's not just U.S.
People make money on TikTok.
Yeah, people make money on TikTok, and it's not a normal workspace. People need labor. People need people in these offices.
Well,
people need...
You know, TikTok has... When TikTok opened the TikTok shop, this is the one thing, when you said labor, that was the one thing I'm surprised they have not done, was open, like, a fulfillment center.
I think it's coming, but...
How? They about to close it.
I don't think now is not, but like you said, it's probably, they probably were trying to scope out with them being, TikTok being not owned by the United States. They probably have to go through a lot of red tape because the company is, you know, based overseas. So, and I'm quite sure they have things in place where, you know, I don't know, but it's probably a lot more red tape than, you know, Amazon had to go through, because Amazon's founder is a U.S. citizen. So
yeah, it was in his garage. Was it? No, was that Apple?
That was the Apple or Macintosh.
No, because Amazon was a bookstore.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I mean, that Jeff Bezos is literally a genius, because he figured out, I don't need a brick and mortar. I just need to float. It's just a logistics company. Honestly, it's just one of
the... It's like, you do have brick and mortar, because...
But he figured out how to, you know, basically have this without a brick and mortar, like Target, where you go to get certain stuff. Like, he flies, like, merchandise throughout all these buildings to get to various locations without you even having to go to a brick and mortar.
Right, but now I wonder, that really begs the question. Now I want to research, may have to pull this up for a later date, but now I wonder, because... During COVID, yeah, that was fine, because we couldn't get out the house. But now it's like, how is transportation, like, all of these things that are going to rise in cost, how are they going to sustain their business model with these price rates? Because I feel like, well, Amazon, well, let me backtrack. Because one, Amazon has now have their own brand. or they don't like own brand. Because my concern is that a lot of these, when people doing FDA, it's like everybody's getting the stuff from China.
Yeah.
So it's like you're gonna lose a lot of that selling on Amazon because of. So.
Technically, Chris and his all competitors are folks that's making money that way. And I think they saw that people were just making money on their own terms. Like, they didn't have to rely on these entities. And, like, these rich folks, they talk about this shit. They say, oh, hold on. Too many folks. Because they need folks to work. They need people to be poor so they can trick them with a paycheck to keep them working.
Yeah, but they keep trying to get rid of the middle class. The middle class makes America, but they're trying to keep it between the poor and the rich.
Yeah.
We are middle. Like, I didn't know. I grew up middle class, but now that I am a contributor to the middle class society, nah, this ain't it. Like,
I mean, middle class is the backbone of America. But that's all not wasted. Like, and to me, it feels like there is no more middle class because look at the cost of homes. The easiest way to build wealth is real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally so tough to jump through hoops because you got student loans on your back. Houses, starter houses now in most major cities are $450,000. Yeah. And that means nice.
What's your definition of a starter house?
Just a regular, like, maybe one or two bathrooms, three bedrooms. A garage in an okay neighborhood, not even a new house.
Yeah.
And like you said, I hate to hold the boomers and stuff, but like the older generation, they just fuck these houses and say hell. So, I mean, they old. So it's a lot more, you know, infrastructure stuff. We got to go back when you buy these houses so they can last another 40 to 50 years. So it's just like, damn, you know, our parents and stuff can move into these starter homes and, you know, make it their own for a second and then buy maybe their dream home a little bit. But now, that's why a lot of our generation's like, fuck it, I'm just have a high mortgage and get what the fuck I want because why am I going to get a starter home when I could pay $200,000 more for what I want? Or I just don't, because like, even me, I want to buy something, but like, actually good with renting because like I don't have to fix nothing. It's a lot of responsibility, and I think a lot of my friends that rushed out and bought homes, not everybody, they are seeing, oh, this is not as glamorous. Like, they checked it off, they bought, they done. Because I heard a lot of people want to go back to renting because like you said, you calling the repairman.
Yeah, I definitely think it, I mean,
it balances out,
it
but
it isn't what you are ready to commit to, because yeah. At the end of the day, owning a home to me is a major commitment. And I personally got commitment issues at this point.
Yeah,
I can't commit. Like, I commit for a year and see if I like it and move on to something new. If I want into a house, I'm gonna have to love it to sign the 360 deal at the end of the day, because that's 30 years.
Yeah, because I mean, and it's like an anchor too, because it's just like you can't get up and go when you want to. It's just, you know,
she can. It depends on the market. Right? So, like, at the end of the day, like.
But I mean, with a lease, you can just terminate the lease.
Right. I'm telling you, 60 days, what is it? 2 times your rent, and I'm out. Like,
I don't know, but I think, a lot of Gen Z is, like, notorious. They don't think American dream anymore is owning a home. Like, it's wherever.
That's a good. Now we need some Gen Zers, because what is the Gen Z American dream? To be honest, the American dream, I feel like for me, when I was growing up, no, I'm going to tell you, it is the American dream.
It's the same shit the boomers did.
Yeah,
go to married by 24. Or find get married, have children, rent
own house. Yeah, but mine was a little bit more travel. But I think the American dream kind of did change because I feel like boomers, school was never like a major thing. Like, I feel like
you can get experience.
Yeah, but now, like, I feel like for millennials, going to school was the thing. Like, I feel like you had to go to college to get to become more, like, to just get weeded out again. Yeah. Like, just another level,
just to get an entry level to even get thought about.
Next, I remember my first job, like, this one girl, she went to University of Michigan, mm-hmm. psychology, and then was an account manager. I don't know how that correlated, don't know how it happened, But when I found out, I just was like,
when they found university, I know so many folks that literally had basketball even degrees, and it's just like, and didn't know what the fuck they was talking about at work, and I'm like, how does it look?
Yeah, there are some smart, dumb people at work.
I'm not even mad. Like, the game is to be sold, not sold. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Favor ain't fair, but... And that made the blue go farther.
That's true. That's a good
segment. But even we talked with Michigan State, y'all have a huge alumni. I think, too, this younger generation are starting to learn that more widespread, that it's more about who you know or making connections as alumni.
Network
yeah.
is your network.
Yeah.
And I feel like I learned that last year.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things of why I like make the moves that I did, just to like get into certain spaces, because at the end of the day, it's like, it's literally who I know. Like, for me to be like on the vice president of the alumni board, we have guys that are like executives at all of these Fortune 500 companies that we have access to. And just being able to have that network and to be able to talk to people, mm-hmm. well, the potential to talk to people is already putting you 10 steps above mm-hmm. like a lot of people. So that was one of the one things, especially networking, like I wanted to really tap into, because at the end of the day, like I always tell people, you and someone will always have one thing in common. And when you find that thing, you can then find something else. Like your alumni, your school is that one thing. And if you can find people that went there, then you guys can meet and like grow. Like I tell that to everybody, because at the end of the day, like there's been, I could count so many people that has helped me that went to Michigan State, and I am forever grateful for.
Yeah, that's the only thing I hate about going to a smaller school. Maybe if I stayed in, because I never had a problem when I stayed in the Metro Detroit area, but yeah, I definitely would have did a bigger school.
I feel like that's the catch 22. I feel like when you're also part of like Greek life, you also have that network as well.
Yeah.
So it's like you did get both. Like though you went to a small school, and even Nesby, for example, like even like those things, like it's just,
it kind of helped. Yeah.
Yeah. Those type of affiliations always matter. So that is definitely worth it. All right. But like we went told around topic.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you guys, this is just like the inaugural episode. Like I said, we will definitely be covering a lot of hot topics about what is going on in American politics, or just in America, period. And just kind of see what's going on. Also, pop culture, we'll be mixing in a lot of pop culture.
It's just our thoughts.
Yeah, it's just our thoughts. This is us yapping just to, 30 something. So that's just now still navigating the world. Like, we're still teenagers. Like, it's super girly pop.
Yeah, I'm still a teenager at heart. It is actually kind of wild. The fact that, like,
let's unpack that. Like, let's unpack how I feel like a couple of Gen Zers, they'll be a little sassy, but like mm-hmm. they are actually right. Millennials, we refuse to grow up. But I feel like because we had so much traumatic stuff, like we were talking about at the beginning of the episode,
we're saying that millennials, we refuse to grow. Like, there's a difference of maturing and then actually growing out of. There's being childish and being childlike.
So I feel like the childlike, like we don't grow, like for example, like we still talk about Harry Potter and the sorting houses and stuff.
Harry Potter is us. Like, Harry Potter came out in 2001, right before 9/11. But it came out the same month.
Yeah, but I feel like also it's a piece of comfort and safety.
Correct.
Because of all the stuff that
we use.
Yeah, I feel like with millennials, we were like the last generation where we grew up, especially us older millennials, we're mid millennials, but it's just like we grew up before the era of the computer, the internet, but we grew into it.
No, I feel like, I don't want to say because I had a computer in my house.
Yeah, I had a computer in my house, but you just get what I'm saying?
But we learned it. I feel like we've been learning computer in middle school. So
I learned computers in elementary school, but what I'm saying is like we grew up at a time where computers were not all around us. You get what I'm saying? Like now,
I see what we're not as accessible.
We have like four laptops in here, two iPads, and three cell phones working for our cameras. Like, you got one house computer. You called your parents' house from a landline or a payphone. You're the last, the unplugged generation.
I agree with that. That part is the more so the unplugged part, because you, for example, like people are so dialed in digitally. It's like, I feel like we have these. That's why I feel like that's even more of a reason why I still have childlike things, because of the simple fact, like, hey, I can't get this nostalgia on my phone. I can't do this. Just like we're at Forever 21, Five Below.
Oh yeah.
Like these things, like I can't just go out and just go search this, or even if I did, like it's
it'll give you the same feeling. Yeah, I feel you.
So no, I definitely do. I think we are the most unserious.
It brings you back to a time where you felt safe and
because
you're comfort.
We had no choice. I feel like you said, we had so much. I feel like after 9/11, to be completely honest, I remember, now I travel a lot, but I remember not wanting to travel at all. Not on no airplane. I remember being deathly scared. Like, I just was like.
Well, you know what? I remember. I feel like this was one of the last times I was on a plane before 9/11. So my class trip, my fifth grade class trip, was in May or June of 2001, because I graduated while I left elementary school. That was my fifth grade year. And basically, you know, all we went through was a freaking metal detector. That was it. We walked
in the airport?
In the airport. We went to DTW and we had a private jet. It was a 747. We had like, 60 or 70 kids, because we had my class. And then we had a sister class, because our Spanish teacher lived in Garden City, and her kids, so she was very heavily involved. So it was kind of like a pen pal. Like, they would come to our school, we would come to their school for dance, and it was pretty cool. We would do activities together as a fifth grade class. But yeah, that was the last, like, and then after 9/11, like having to take off the shoes, had to do all X, Y, and Z, like.
You can walk people to the gate.
Yeah, you can walk up. Yeah, like, because I was telling my little coworker, you know, I'm like, yeah, you could just see your people off to the gate. You didn't have to, you know, they wasn't worried about it. You show your boarding pass, good. But, you know, I understand why they had to put these things into place. But
they had no choice.
Yeah, you know. I guess it's just like you said, it's just nostalgia. Like, even like now, I just be feeling like maybe I have to wait to have some kids for like Christmas to be magical again, because it just don't, the day come and go.
And that's the fact. And that's the sad reality. And I think that's the bigger thing of why, like, for me is really intentional to me, it's the more state to stay present, because I feel like that's the one thing I felt like in my childhood, you had no choice but to be present. If you wanted to do stuff, we didn't have phones. We didn't have that to be present and to play board games. Because I still like board games.
Me
like,
too. But I think also, kids, something I've noticed in kids now too, they do not like to be bored. And I, like, it's okay to be bored.
You can sit here all day and not do nothing.
Yeah, and it's just okay to be quiet and I was a kid once, my parents were like, just lay down somewhere. You don't need to be doing stuff all the time. And I think, like you said, the phones definitely overstimulate kids and just everybody. But
and then you see too much now. Like, that's where
it's too much. I feel like I do feel like maybe I'm starting to turn into an IT, but I do think it's too much information. Because I just hear kids talk about stuff, and I'm just like, you have an experience. Even, like I said, some of my younger coworkers, I'm like, this is what you see on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real life.
Like what?
Just different stuff, like, even, this is an easy grab, sex. You can see it, but if you have not experienced it, the physical and the mental that goes about it, you just seen the actual physical, you don't understand it, you don't have a grasp on it.
Yeah.
You don't have, like, it's just too much information. I was just an easy grab, an easy example, a very lewd one, but it's just that's one of the things you try to shield your kids from, because this is like, you don't want your kid hypersexual and just
right
exposed to the wrong stuff. But I just feel like kids are exposed to a lot of information, and now I see why my parents, and like you said, your parents kind of shielded us, but now you can't shield your kids, so you almost have
you cannot shield a kid now. So and that's so
start seeing certain signs, or maybe if they get to a certain age, like, hey, you may come across this, like, the door is open to talk about this, but...
Yeah, because you cannot shit a kid. I remember, like...
I just remember stuff being exposed to me, and I'm like, I'm kind of afraid to go home and ask my parents, but my mom would be real...
Man, not at all. I wish... I don't think... I feel social... I don't know the definition of shelter. I don't know, because I feel like, also, I, out of all my friends, I've also had a younger parent. So it was, yeah. I feel like it was definitely a different perspective. And like, you don't want history to repeat. Like, at the end of the day, like, you don't, in my eyes, like, even with my sister, I would want her to be better than me. Like, whatever I do, take the lessons I learned, apply them to your life so you don't have to go through it and then do something better. And like, and I felt like that with my mom. Like, at the end of the day, I didn't become an adult until, I mean, I was first generation college student, so everybody was working. I didn't have to get a job until I was in college. Like, and I barely even got a job. And then I just became a tutor because I couldn't do manual labor. Like, that's when I knew that was not for me. I was working in the cab. Y'all nasty. Y'all just don't, y'all.
Shelby used to work in the cab. That's so funny.
No. Shout out to everybody who worked in the cab. That's a throwback, because everybody, you will go in there one day. All right, I just here for the semester. Don't even sign me up for next year. Like, and just get your little check and call it a day.
Thing like hard work, like washing them dishes.
Well, because people will do stuff like that.
What's or stacking weird.
Why you getting milk, put some tissue in it, like, be putting these concoctions together? Like,
you're wasting food.
You're wasteful. Like, and then we have to clean this up. It's not like we have people, like, the cafeteria was a student ran thing. Like, you may have like the upper people that was like non-students and like adults, but your supervisor the supervisor over there were all students just like the rest of us. Like, so we are all in this together. Y'all just made life different. So whoever used to do that,
your mama, I'm hollering. But I used to see that at my school too, because you could definitely tell who parent didn't, this was their first time off the leash.
Well, I could, because that was my first time off the leash, but I felt like.
But I'm talking
black
about
parents is still certain qualities and things that it's just like, if my mom found out, like, if my mom saw me doing that, I'll be scared.
Yeah.
Like, but even then, though, I say that to say also that some of my white friends, like, the stuff they did in high school, like, half of them, I feel like there was always a catch-22, like, half of them, shit they did in high school was wild, and I see why I was never hanging out with them. But then they go to college. It's like they're able to go to college and be normal, because guess what? They did it in high school, past high school, and got into college, and they could be it. Then you have the people who were like the really religious people. Like, that's the low.
I went to a private, and I would say it's more conservative, but I remember everybody, they came from the West Side. But I'm talking about the Dick DeVos, Bessie DeVos people. They all went to Catholic school. Either people came out their true, you know, sexual nature, like, oh, I'm coming out as gay or bi or whatever. Or they denounced the church.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm atheist. I'm like, I've never met somebody. I'm like, oh, no. I'm thinking they devil worship, you know, black people. Like, oh, no, wait a minute. Why y'all fucking with the devil? Not realizing they just don't believe. You know, that's just 18-year-old, you know, missionary Baptist. Like, oh, no, you fucking with the shit. But
don't bring that over here.
Get my holy oil. But nah, like, yeah, no, you right. And it's just like, y'all doing too much.
Yeah,
like to see. I thought a lot of people leave you like after first semester because they couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
it's just too much freedom. Like, my parents gradually, like, my parents were super strict with me. Like, me and Shelby, like, when we were little, early teens, and then they start letting the loose the reins, right. Like in high school, they was like, okay, you can make all decisions. Because I know a lot of people, parents that are helicopter parents, and then these kids get out to school and they can't make a decision about themselves. And that's, I think, the next generation. They were talking about how these kids can't even hold a job because they don't care about getting a car. Because that was another thing, just like you said, because we were unplugged. I mean, now granted, we were the first generation, like teenagers, that have a cell phone. But we still wanted to get a car at 16, like getting a car, like, oh, that was a big deal. Like, if you got a car, oh, my God, you got this.
I didn't get my license till 21.
I didn't get mine to 18 either, but a lot of my friends got their license and car, you know, I went to Cavs at 16. So it was just like, okay, now we can go to the mall. Now we can go to your house. These kids now, because they're so interconnected with iPads and phones, because we didn't have FaceTime and stuff. I don't need to come over your house. Like, I'm in my bed over that too. But a lot of these kids not doing that. They comfy at their house. They'll just FaceTime the other kid.
But those are the effects of COVID and being a whole year in Zoom, but having to learn and adapt to communicate.
I hate it. I'm so. As much as I hate going back in person, like, I love that because I hate Zoom. I was so burnt out on Zoom by June of 2020. My party was on Zoom, Brandy's, everybody. It was always some shit on Zoom. I'm like, hey, we having a drinking party on Zoom. Nah, I don't want to see motherfuckers. Like, I'm good.
If I knew then what I know now, I definitely would have walked out the day before the shutdown.
Yeah.
That, man, Zoom stopped skyrocketed like crazy. That was wild. But yeah, no, I definitely do believe, like, that's why these kids are so, but those are the Gen Alphas. The Gen Alpha kids that are like that.
Yeah.
Not the Gen Zers. And I was getting them messed up. Like, no, those Gen Alphas are definitely different.
Yeah, Gen Alphas are kind of grown now. What they about, like, 10 now?
No, Gen Alpha started
2012.
That's when Gen Alpha
started. But they're about 12.
Oh, no. Let me see.
Yeah, because the end of the Gen Z, they're like 16, 17.
Yeah, wow. Stop. Yeah, so.
It's slipping away from me. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Wow. That's why I'm just looking at the generation. I didn't realize they call the Gen Xers the latchkey generation.
Yeah, because this is, you hand them the key and you're like, how many times your parents, like you said, your grandma won't watch?
Gen Xers.
Gen X?
Yeah, they call the Gen Xers like latchkey generation.
Ain't Gen X behind us, though?
No, the Gen Xer, my mom is a Gen Xer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In front of my future.
Yeah, they're behind us, yeah. I see. I mean, excuse me, yeah, I get what you're saying, yeah. Yeah, in front of us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. This is actually.
But even our generation, our parents, if we lock the door, don't answer this door for nobody. Now these kids got fucking ring cameras and they can go, the burglar at the door.
Right. They didn't have to get up and go to the door and try to sneak and try to see out the corner who at the door.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That sound old, but y'all didn't have to go through the struggle. But I appreciate the struggle because at the end of the day, I feel like the millennial generation is the generation that's going to hold the glue together between all of us. Because at the end of the day, we have went through the biggest adversity. We went through the, like,
in modern day,
like, we can list everything that happened during the major events that has happened in the last 30 years. And it all happened in the millennial generation.
I would say last close to 40 years at this point.
Right.
Well, I'll be 35 this year, so.
Right. So at the end of the day, like, resilience breeds successful people. And I just feel like us millennials, we
have to redirect a lot. Like, it's stuff that, I feel like that's also why we kind of redirected our focus on, like, being the rat race in corporate America, because we know time is limited, and we're not going to let that time pass us by. We've seen our parents work themselves to death.
Not even that. You have people now that are baby boomers that are still working for companies, and it's like, I remember at my current job, they had people there for 35 years. I'm 35. There was people there for 40. I'm like, you were there before I was even born. Like, what are you doing with your life? And it's not even like you're a director. You're not like
a manager. I think the cost of living is so crazy. They got work. A lot of these niggas got work.
And that's I don't want that. Like, I you know, when I was looking up, I was setting up for my retirement fund. I remember seeing this. It was like, oh, yeah, you could, it was, what is it called? The 2067 plan. That's the year you retire. I have to work 40 years. Like, that was when I was 20. I was like, I have to work for 40 years. Like, and I just sat there and thought that, like, that was the most depressing time. Like, that's when the start of depression hit. Realizing in 2012, 2013, the 2067 plan.
Damn, we gonna be 70. What the fuck?
Because they keep raising the your social security.
Come on, that bitch, the 2081, and I don't know. I don't know if I'm making it that far.
Listen, that's why health is wealth at this point. Like, these is like,
I want these niggas to freeze me next to Walt Disney here. Wake me up in 2020. I don't know. Somebody said that in my head. They can, like, the cry up. Bring him back to life.
That is so funny. It's Walt Disney.
I like they said that shit on Mad TV and it just stuck with me.
That sound like, you remember, what show is it? With Richard Nixon as a robot. Futurama. They got Richard Nixon as the head. They got him in the, you know how Sandy be walking?
Yeah, the little,
They got Richard Nixon like that. And then, and his other half of his body is like a walker. Like, it's Futurama. Like, at first I never liked it, but as much as I travel, it now is like, there is nothing on TV. And if I want to watch TV, because I can't sleep without the TV on, like.
You're actually a serial killer. Like, I hate TV being on.
Because I'm probably one of few many adults that still need a nightlight to sleep.
Oh, because my aunt be like that. I'm like, can we turn on TV?
Does anybody care about their sleep?
No, seriously, like, I mean, yeah, but that's what, like, if I can marry, I'll, like, that's going to be the first conversation on, like, the first date. Like, are you a TV sleeper or are you an off?
Are you pitch black or do you need a light?
I mean, I can sleep with it, but I prefer the TV on.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It says, Disney was cremated shortly after his death from lung cancer in 1956.
Interred. I mean, you know, when they put their body onto the ground or the mausoleum. Yes,
I couldn't say that word, but I definitely say mausoleum.
Yeah, interred.
Interred. I never heard that before. Okay. Yeah, that, no, it was a Daily News reporter as a satire skit, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know where I heard that from, but nah, I mean, you know, that's just the next phase of life. Ain't nobody, you know, scared of that. Like, we all gotta go sometimes, but yeah, that is, like, daunting. I just want to make enough money so I can pay off student loans and, like I said, just live my life.
I mean, my stance is this, and anybody can say whatever they want, but my stance is this. We have the UN for a reason. We have our allies for a reason. We have all of these systems and things in place for a reason. My heart goes out for any country that is getting invaded because the president of the invader country is crazy. People have to flee and fight for their lives. The United States and Ukraine has no treaty, and there's no relation.
So why do Biden send them $250 million every time something happens?
And they cut the check. It's an open book for them. And for me, if we can send 200 or something million, billion, trillion, whatever's after trillion, don't know, because so anybody who's past that point, listen, you can take care of my school, because it'd be less than 0.0001% of that. So I just, there's it's very hard for me to say, yeah, I want to. I mean, I understand the debt that happened in order for me to get an education to do this, blah, blah, blah. But it's hard to say or want to pay for this knowing that the government prints as much money as they have to support causes that does not help the United States. What did they tell you on the airplane? Put your mask on first before helping others.
Now you know America can't do that.
And we are some nosy people. We always in people's business. I feel like once we stop being in other people's business, I feel like America could be better than what... I mean, America, I still want to know when America was great, I still want that definition. I want that era. I want that time frame. I really want that understanding. So then I could say, then we can be great again. But I think we can become great when we stop being in other people's business. But
that ain't gonna never happen.
No, and it won't. But that's the major thing, is the reason why we are so, because Ukraine asked to be in the UN.
Did they not let him?
I forgot what happened. But that's why in Russia got mad.
Oh.
Because then, if that happened, because since we exist, Poland is in the UN. Let me get that right. I think Poland is in the UN, because that's why we have bases there.
Oh.
Technically, then the United States will be in their backyard. And that was the biggest thing that was the main reason. Yeah. Oh. Listen, if, what's her name? To see Russia from her backyard? Why can't we see Russia from Ukraine? What was her name?
Oh, Sarah Palin.
Her and members of the UN. Interesting. Israel got in the UN in 1949, so that happened right after. So the UN basically, I think it was established right after World War II. Yeah, everybody, a lot of these are in 1945, because Poland was entered in.
Yeah, they were saying they were with the ally. They were no smoke.
That's still weird to me. That's a topic for another day. Maybe it's not the UN. Now I'm about to backtrack this. They are. So what? Because it shows Ukraine as current member, and they were admitted in 1945. So now, I remember this. I remember this whole thing. It was something. They were trying to be a part of NATO. I know it was a treaty. I know it was some treaty. Yeah. NATO was set up in 1949. 12 countries. Belgium, Canada. Canada seemed to always be a part of something. Oh. I find it very interesting. Canada, Denmark, France, Iceland, Italy, Luxembourg. I really want to go there. The Netherlands, Norway, Portugal. So now, since that, they expanded. After the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, I remember I wanted to go to Estonia so bad. Estonia.
Can we still go, or is it kind of like blocked?
I don't see why we couldn't.
I just want to go to St. Petersburg, but that's all. Brittany Griner, I'm good.
See, here you go, right? This is, why is Ukraine not in NATO, and when could it join? Russia has consistently opposed the idea of Ukraine joining NATO, fearing it will bring the alliance's forces too close to its border. But then, in 2008, they said that Ukraine could eventually go in an organization. And that's when, I feel like they put in an application to join, not too long, at the beginning of 2022, sometime around there. And I'd have to fact check that for sure. But, because that's the one thing, like, in Canada, there was a lot of people, there was a heavy Ukraine population. And it was, like, a lot of people, like I said, like a couple of people that worked at the hotel I was staying at, they were either engaged or married to Ukrainians.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
I had a couple of Ukrainian clients. They were pretty cool. At first, because I didn't know there, and this, I didn't even know it was two different languages. It's Eastern European, so I thought it sounded like Russian, but Russian is a whole different dialect.
It's like Spanish that kind of little.
Yeah.
Like,
because my Ukrainian guy was like, oh, I know I speak Russian. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like everybody in Soviet Union, like, they
had to learn.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. No, I think that's a wrap for this first episode. We definitely covered a lot. We kind of went on a tangent for sure. But biggest thing that we wanted to really discuss is that we realize the U.S. people don't know the U.S. government in tariffs. They can be a plus or they can be a minus. We'll see how the prices actually will look after January 20th and see how the economy. Two things we will be watching over the next couple of weeks. One, TikTok, if the ban is actually going to happen. And then if Shein and Temu, how long that they will last. Like, because that's going to be, because honestly, America's still going to buy them.
They could. I don't think they got enough money, or they'd be willing to.
Yeah.
And then they still gonna be manufactured over there. Like, but people didn't realize, you know, tariffs may seem small, but they have big consequences for economies and consumers. So, like you said, we shall see. And you know, see if you know, President-elect Trump really stands on, you know, beyond. Next week's episode, guys, we will be going over the winners, losers, and why some countries get left behind or out of the global trade party. And we'll cover that next week. But yeah.
Yeah, hit us up if you guys have any thoughts of your own that we need to cover. But I think we had a lot of thoughts this week. We definitely need to do a better job of reeling it in. Make sure we keep our thoughts limited. But this is just an insight on how our conversations go in the first place. So talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Peace.